Stand, we'll read a rather lengthy text tonight.
Amen.
The reason I want to read so much is because I'll make mention, and there's a possibility I may come back and preach from some of these verses again later, all right? But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 5, we'll begin reading there. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now that's Jesus in the midst of the church singing praise unto God. And ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus sang praise to God, how much more should you and I praise him in joyful song today? Amen. That's not my message now again, all right? In verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Father, I ask you now to help us, Lord, and continue, Father, to give us that blessed liberty that we need tonight just to get into this and settle ourselves and settle our hearts right into it. And, Lord, to expound it to the best of our ability in the light that the Spirit of God has conveyed it to my heart. Help me, I pray, to be a blessing to your people. I want to be a blessing to the people of God. I want to exalt and magnify our blessed Savior. I'm glad tonight that I've been redeemed by your blood. Thank God I'm not ashamed of your gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. It's brought me out of sin and given me a hope in my soul of glory. And I'm so thankful that your blood has cleansed every stain. I'm praising you tonight for being good to me. Help us now. Save that lost and dying soul that's here tonight. And God bless your people. May they find great truth in application in these scriptures tonight. And I'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now, church, I have thoughts... Ever since I tried to preach from the first part of this scripture on last Sunday, I've really had the thought on my heart of trying to preach to you tonight out of verse number 9 on the taste of death. The Bible said there that Jesus tasted death for every man. And that is a wonderful thought. And even this morning when I secluded myself and began to meditate and pray over these scriptures and tried to find the mind of God and to put some thoughts together in my heart that I could bring to you tonight, it just seemed as though this thought would not uh, would not come to mind in a way that I could apply it and preach it in our service tonight. And God laid an entirely different thought on my mind that I hope that if I can get it across to you, the way God's precious Spirit conveyed it to my heart this morning, I believe that all of us will leave this place rejoicing tonight and thanking God for His workings in our heart. Look, if you would please, at verse number 10, where the Scripture said, "For it became Him, for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." It became God. It was God's will to make the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus, perfect through sufferings. Now, if God will help me tonight, I want to try to preach for a little while on this thought, perfection through suffering. Perfection through suffering. And I want to preach on that. Or we may even just say, being made perfect through those things which we suffer as a Christian. I'm amazed at what God uses in our life to perfect us in our Christianity. And make no mistakes about it. This suffering that Jesus did in the light of the text that we're reading made the captain of our salvation perfect through those things which He suffered. Now, I want you to notice, please, I just made that statement, that our text states that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through His sufferings. Now, church, I want to be real cautious tonight. I mean that. I want to take real caution at what I'm getting ready to say at this particular point in by way of introduction into this message. But don't ever now let it be said that perfection ever eradicated our Lord's sin nature or eradicated sin from His life. You see, perfection is not dealing with the eradication of sin or the sin nature out of our life. Because the Lord, according to the Bible, was made perfect by those things which He suffered. And we don't ever get the thought that our Lord was a sinner. The Bible is clear about the fact that our Lord knew no sin. That there was no guile found in His mouth. That He could not sin. He could not sin. Therefore, His perfection is not dealing with nor in regards to His putting off of sin. It must be dealing with something altogether differently. And I want to try to bring that out in just a moment. If you'll notice in verse number 9 with me, Paul simply there uses the word Jesus. He said, "But we see Jesus, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Now, when this name only, the name of Jesus is used by itself, the writer is always referring to our Lord's humanity. I'm getting ready to make some applications, so hang with me. Every time the Scripture uses the name Jesus, the writer is referring to His humanity. Not His deity, but His humanity. Let me remind you that Jesus was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. He was not 50% man and 50% God. He was 100% of both. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, that cannot be possible." I'm telling you that it is possible. It behooved Him to be made like His brethren. He did not take upon Him the nature of angels according to our text, but He took upon Himself the seed of Abraham. Our Lord was 100% God, and He was 100% 100% man. And when he came into the world, he did not know sin. He had no sin. He could not sin. No guile was found in his mouth. And so the perfection of the captain of our salvation is referring to those things in his humanity. God in his sufferings brought the Lord Jesus Christ to a place of maturity in his manhood. Now, don't nobody leave me now. Don't nobody leave me. Therefore, this suffering consummated his manliness. Or should I say, it made him a perfect man. It made him a perfect man. Now, don't leave me now. Please don't leave me right here. We're getting ready to get a hold of something marvelous in this text, okay? Now, the sufferings that's here mentioned are the sufferings of death. Notice in verse 9, it said, "But Jesus has tasted death for every man." Now, I think Mrs. Hall gets a little worried about the preacher right along these lines. I don't believe what Arthur Pink has to say about this Scripture. He kind of twists the Scripture a little bit and leads you to believe that the Scripture's really saying that Jesus tasted death for every son. And he goes back to the word, the heirs of salvation in chapter number 1. And what he does, he limits the grace of God and makes himself a hyper-Calvinist, believing that Jesus Christ tasted death only for those that would be redeemed. But I'm here to tell you that I believe the King James 1611 Bible is perfectly inspired, preserved of God. There's no mistake in it. I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. When the Bible said that he tasted death for every man, mark her down, son, from Adam right on down to modern day, when Christ died on the cross, he drank the last bitter drug of death for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever come into this world. Those that had lived in the fear of death all their lives, the Bible said he destroyed him and then delivered us from the fear of death that had had us gripped all these years, all mankind. Everybody. That's right. Now, the sufferings mentioned here are the sufferings of death. He tasted death for every man. Now, church, going to take me a while to get into the message. Okay, because I want to preach the whole thing, everything I got here. So you just bear with me. I want you to please notice now what all was accomplished by this suffering. What did Jesus accomplish by this suffering? May I say, number one, that he restored man back to a place of authority over the works of God's creation. If you'll notice in verse number 5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But we see in a certain place," or one in a certain place, "testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him." This is a quotation from Psalm number 8. And I taught that in the Sunday school out of the book of Psalm. But he said, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." Now, I want everybody to look right up here at me. He is not talking in that verse about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about man. When man was created in the garden, church, God put him in a place of authority over all creation. Have you never read where that the animals came and Adam named the animals, called ever? He wasn't a dumbbell. He named the animals. And God gave him authority and power over all the creation that God had made. But I'm telling you, when Adam fell, humanity lost that place in this world. We lost that place of authority over God's creation. Now, he's clear in verse 8. He said, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under him." That is, under man. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him." Look right up here. All things are not yet in subjection to man. But we see Jesus. Oh, yeah. We don't see everything yet in subjection to us. But we do see Jesus. But friend, there's coming a day. That's right. In that world which is to come, that one more time, that man will have authority and will rule and reign with the Son of God for 1,000 years in this world, and all things will be in subjection to man one more time. Now don't leave me now. I'm trying to get to a place, all right? He restored man back to a place of authority over the works of God's creation. Then notice number two. Number two, this suffering of death destroyed the devil. Now, I didn't say it destroyed his works. It destroyed the devil. Look, if you would please, with me in verse number 14, where the Bible said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." That's Jesus. Took part of the same. Flesh and blood took part of the same. "That through death," there's the suffering again, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. Now that word "destroy" means to render entirely idle. It means to bring it to naught. Are you listening to me now? Jesus' sufferings there and his suffering of death brought to naught the power of Satan. Son, I tell you, he is a worthy adversary, but I'm glad, hallelujah, that he's had his teeth pulled. He is a lion and a roaring lion, but he has no power to bite. He has no sting. He has no authority. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, he stripped the devil of all his power, all his authority. And if you please, he's running in idle gear now, just a sitting still idling on the runway. No power. No power. Now don't nobody leave me. Notice number three. What this suffering did. It delivered us from the fear of death. Look at verse number 15. "And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Hey, look right up here at me, individual. There's no need of fearing death any longer. That's not a pleasant thing. Death is not a pleasant experience. And by the way, it's coming. It's going to knock on your door. And brother, your time's running out a whole lot faster than you think it is. Oh no, when Jesus suffered death on the cross, my friend, he gave you and I that are saved victory over the fear of death. I'm not worried about what my future holds because I know who holds the future. I know who holds the future. So he delivered me from that fear of death. Now, I'm just about ready to get down to my message, all right? Now, I want you to notice the final thing that was accomplished to end this suffering. If you would, look in verse number 10. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." Now, church, I'm about to get to the thought the Holy Ghost gave me this morning. Miss Hall came into that room, and I'm telling you, I was sitting in awe when God gave me this thought this morning. Let's read that again. I want you to get it now because, hey, there's some of you in here that is suffering tonight. In one form or another, you're miserable tonight. In one way or another, I tell you, you're grieved and pain-stricken tonight. You're suffering. And buddy, hey, it's there for a godly purpose in your life. Yes, sir. It's there for the same reason, the same purpose it was in the life of the Son of God. As that suffering perfected him, it will in like manner, my friend, perfect you by the grace of God if you yield yourself to it and let God work in your life. Now, don't nobody leave me now. Notice this thought. He said in verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons." What does your Bible say that next word is? "Unto glory." It didn't say in bringing all sons. into glory. But many sons unto glory. Let me run that by you again. It did not say all sons into glory, but it said many sons unto glory. Now, I just read right above that verse where we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And I'm satisfied these same sufferings that Jesus went through, that we go through, will bring you and I unto glory. Not into glory. He's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about bringing many sons into a glorious estate in the presence or in the eyes of Almighty God through those things that we suffer. God takes and uses them to perfect us and to make a man out of us. Now, don't nobody leave me right there. Hey, the word, look here now. Notice now, it didn't say all sons. Not everybody's going to make it into this glory. Just those that suffer. Not all sons will be glorified in this manner. Oh, this is a precious thought. This is a precious truth. Hey, the word glory there means a place of dignity and honor and reputation. And it's not talking about our salvation. Hey, I'm simply saying, church, that it is a blessed thing to suffer at the hand of Christ, that we might follow in the same example our Lord made for us and allow that suffering to perfect us and make a godly man out of us for the glory and honor of God. Now, have I lost you? I hope of not. I hope of not. Not all sons, but many sons. Not all sons, but many sons. Not into glory, but unto glory. Somebody said you're playing on words. I happen to believe that every word is inspired of God. And it would do us well to study words in the Bible. There's a difference from into and unto, buddy. Amen. And there's a difference in all and many.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I looked up the word many. That's right. I've got a Strong's. It would pay you, benefit you to get a Strong's and look up some words too.
Amen.
That word many is a large number, big number, but it's not all inclusive of everybody. And so this suffering that we're preaching on tonight is not designed to bring every child of God into a place of perfection, but it is designed to make many sons unto glory.
Yes.
Denoting that it is a glorious thing to suffer for the honor and glory of God. That's what verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That he might, by the grace of God, taste death for every man. There's the glory and honor. Oh, what an honor it was. What an honor it was for one man, God's man, to be perfected by the sufferings that he endured. And then to take that one man that had reached perfection, my friend, and crown him with glory and honor and set him up as an example for all believers to follow after. I don't know whether I'm coming across or not. I'm trying to. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. We get her on down here in a minute. I believe it'll help us. Get a hold of what I'm getting ready to say now. We are saved by the sacrifice. Isn't that right? When Jesus paid our debt on Calvary, became our substitute and our sacrifice, bore our sins in His own body, paid our sin debt, it was in the sacrifice that saved us. But notice these words in verse number 11. For both he that sanctifieth will, and they that are sanctified are what, Brother Hall? Are all of one. Huh? For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hey, he that sanctified, how did he sanctify? Let me run her by you again. We're saved by the sacrifice, but we're sanctified by the sufferings. Oh, there's my thought. Christian perfection, sanctification, holiness is brought about by the sufferings. I want to say to you, we ought to count it all joy when we're called on to suffer on behalf of the Redeemer, because it's through the sufferings of body and mind that God perfects us forever and sanctifies us a peculiar creature in the eyes of Almighty God. That's why I said many. Because everybody ain't going to make it through that. Now just stay with me a minute. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you know of anything? What does the word sanctify mean? Set apart? Huh? Do you know of anything that sets us apart as does suffering? Do you know of anything that draws more attention, receives more grace, and sets a greater example before mankind, or a greater example than anything else in our life, than suffering? Do you know what sets Jesus Christ apart from everybody, from every man? He that was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Do you know what sets him apart in a greater way than any other man that's ever walked the face of God's earth? Was the suffering! The suffering of death on Calvary to pay for our sins and to sanctify us holy by the grace of God. Let me ask you something. Who do you have the most who in the church gets all your attention? Huh? Who in the church draws more attention? Man, I'm having a hard time with words. I knew I would. It's hard to get it out of my heart. But who in the church is sympathized with more than anybody else? Who draws more attention of our attention than anybody else in the church? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Who do we probably pray for more than anybody else in the church? It's not that when it's on the mountain. Oh, it's not that when it's walking on cloud nine all the time. Oh, I tell you, church, amen, I would have got the Holy Ghost and get her out of me the way I want to get. Hey, I'm going to tell you what sets a man or a woman apart, makes them peculiar in the eyes of the whole multitude, is the suffering that they're going through. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Now, I'm about to get down to my message. I'm trying to get there. This is still an introduction. The word suffer comes from the Latin word suffero. Now, stay with me. The word sub means to be under. That's where we get the word submission, submarine from. And it means to be under. And fero means to bear. Thus, we undergo things. We fall or we bear what is painful and disagreeable and distressing. And we stay under. That is what suffering is our undergoing pain and suffering and distress and those things that are disagreeable in our lives. If we bear under it, stay under it, live there under it, bear up and under it, that, my friend, is suffering. That is why the Lord when He laid your sin and my sin upon His body and picked up the cross and headed to Calvary, my friend. He stayed under. He underwent it. He got under the load of your sin and my sin and suffered and bled and died and was reviled and mocked and ridiculed and spit on and beaten, hallelujah, and suffered for you and I. What about that? I'm a trying. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just about afraid to preach what I'm preaching tonight. You know why? When we preach it, may very well be called on to live it. Huh? May be called on to live it. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to make a few applications and bring the message. We suffer two ways. We can suffer pain in our body, and we can suffer grief in our mind. Oh, yes, sir. Suffering pain in the body. Oh, I wonder how many of the children of God are suffering in their body and don't realize or maybe grieved in their mind and don't really realize that it's there by the sovereign design of God, that God has selected you. God has selected you as a choice servant to allow you to walk through the furnace of affliction and a course of suffering that God might bless you and bring you into a state of glory that will bring you into a place of glory and honor and reputation amongst the brethren that live around you. Have you ever thought about that? Is what I'm saying soaking in at all? I don't know if it's getting in or not. Don't feel like I'm just saying what I want to say. What am I trying to say? Now, I've got about four things, and I want to point these out in your Bible, and I want you to follow me in your Bible, all right? Amen. Suffering is expected in the lives of all believers.
Amen.
In all believers. Look in Philippians chapter 1. And verse number 29. Philippians 1, 29. For unto you, in verse 29, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, everybody look right up here at me. It is expected out of all believers to suffer. But I'm here to tell you, church, that all believers are not going to suffer in the proper attitude that it takes for God to perfect them and to make a real man or a real woman of God out of them. Oh, we want to complain. We want to gripe. We want to bellyache. We want to find an excuse why God ought to deliver us out of it and help us and heal us and cure us and get us out of the dilemma that we're in. Hey, if we'll remain under that suffering. Oh yeah, it's a blessing. I'm telling you, I believe I'll prove in a minute that you're a hand-picked, chosen servant of God that He allows to go through that. I don't believe any man in the New Testament suffered like Paul did. And look what God did with him. There was another man by the name of John the Apostle that was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, isolated from the world, finally boiled in a pot of oil and lived through it. And look, oh, somebody said, well, God didn't use him. No, God just divinely used him to write the book of John's Gospel, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then the book of the Revelation, one of the most wonderful books in all the Bible. There's a man in the Word by the name of Peter that God allowed to be crucified upside down. Oh, Peter said, hey, he said, it's not right for me to be to die in the same manner as my Lord died. Let me be crucified upside down, and God let it happen. Bring in many sons. I'm telling you, and I don't want to get off on this, but a martyr's death is the greatest death that a Christian can die. Suffering as a martyr.
Yes,
but crowned with glory.
Yes.
Persecuted through suffering. Dying the death of a martyr. Yes. But crowned with glory and honor and held in high esteem by the people of God around the world. I'm going to ask something. Who do you talk about the most? Huh? I'll tell you who. Those men and women you read about that suffered in their life. Huh? I think about little old Sheila Rawls. We'll never understand the truth of it, folks, on this side of God's eternity. But I don't know how many of y'all remember Sheila. In here wheeling around in a little old wheelchair. Had cerebral palsy and her arms all drawled up and her little old legs about as big around as a pencil. And her head a drooling and saliva all the time running out of her mouth. Somebody said, "Oh, I sure do feel sad for her. Hey, I don't feel sad for her. What an honor. What a blessing. What glory. What a blessing that God would choose out of many ones that He could bring into a place of suffering and crown them with glory and honor in the presence of the people of God. Oh, that's what He done with Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Huh? That's right. Now, don't nobody leave me here. I want to point out something in this verse. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Not only to believe on Him. Somebody said, "Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. I believe. I believe." But it's not only given for you to believe, but it's given to you on His behalf to suffer.
Amen.
For His name's sake. Now, I don't want nobody to leave me now. That word, those words given in the behalf of Christ, literally means to grant a favor.
Amen.
Or it's a reflection of gratitude. Did that run off your back? Do I or just say amen and go on to the house? Huh? It's a favor, church. It's given. Oh, now, that's right. It is a divine blessing. You know why? Because it puts us in the place of the captain of our salvation, who was made perfect by the sufferings that He endured. He was made a man. Oh, yes, He was made a man. Now, I tell you what the suffering will do for you if you'll take it in the right. It's a favor of God. God has endowed you and blessed you and honored you and brought you to a place, my friend, that you can walk in the footsteps of the divine Son of God. What an honor! No man ever suffered like that man suffered. What an honor. What a blessing. I'm going to be honest with you, no man has ever been used of God with much warrant who did not suffer in body or grief of mind. I think of Charles Spurgeon. I'm not going to stand up here and start telling a bunch of stories because I don't believe God be in it, but I think old Charles Spurgeon, he fought false doctrine from the time he was 20 years old until the time he died. And when he died, 3 months before he died, he made a statement to those people that watched him sail to France for vacation, where he trying to get away from a little trouble, where he could find a little rest. And he told his friends at the pier when he left England and headed for France, he said, "This fight is killing me. No body attack." But at the age of 57, that man of God went home to be with Jesus. No doubt grieved in his mind over the suffering of his mind and the grief in his mind. God took him on out to glory. Jonathan Edwards, I just read today, I believe Jonathan Edwards was 55 years old when he died. He fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, crown of glory laid up for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Are you listening to me? What a divine honor. What a blessing. I think of some of you sitting right in this building tonight. And you're wondering, what on heaven's name am I going through the dilemma that I'm in? Why am I suffering in body soul? Why am I suffering in mind like I am? Hey, rise to your feet and bless the name of the Son of God that He's handpicked you, called you out of the chosen company of the believers, to perfect the grace of God in your life and sanctify you wholly unto the Lord and make a vessel meet for the Master's use in your life. What an honor, buddy. Hallelujah to God. Now, I've just about said all I can say, but I'm going to try to finish it if I can. I want to say next, not only is suffering expected in all believers, but all will not receive it. But suffering is an example for us to follow. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 21. He said, "For even thereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." I want to say to you that he's left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Everybody look right up here at me. I think sometimes we forget what an example is all about. So I ask you tonight, what is the purpose of an example? You got it. The example helps somebody else. Jesus became the example to help us. But as we become examples, it in turn, my friend, helps those around us. God may have just chosen you to be an example to somebody that you might be a blessing to and help down the road somewhere. What a blessing. What a blessing. God comforts us in all of our tribulation. Said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, that we might comfort those who suffer likewise. My God, can you say, hey, no wonder he said in our text tonight that Jesus, being tempted in all points like as we are, he was without sin and he was tempted there that he might suffer us. God may be allowing you to suffer as you are, that somewhere down the road you can take some old dear thing by the hand that you're feeling mighty low, mighty discouraged. If I feel like nobody in all this world cares about them, God may just let you sit down on a pew beside them one day and slip your arm around their neck and say, "Hey, I know what you're going through." And I know what they're going to say. "Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Nobody knows. Nothing's as bad as what I have." Well, just let me tell you what happened to me. Have you ever been there and sat down in the pity party in the Mully Grubs and said, "Well, nobody knows what I'm going through. And nobody's had it near as bad as I've had it. And Jesus ain't never let nobody go through what I'm going through." And all at once that unseen hand kind of slipped around your shoulder. And you heard that still small voice say, "Yes, son, yes, daughter. Somebody has went through and experienced everything that you're going through now. And if you let me, I'll put my arm around you and love your heart and help you. And I'll give you some understanding and give you some grace. And I'll even hold you up." Hey, no wonder we ought to bear one another's burdens. But friend, how can you bear a burden you're not familiar with? Oh, God, did you get a hold of that? It's kind of hard for Brother Hall to bear a burden that I've never experienced in my own life. I know nothing about it. I'm unfamiliar with it. Oh, but when God allows us to suffer, and our heart is pained, and our mind is grieved, and our body is wrecked with misery and pain, God allows us to suffer that down the road we can slip our arm around a brother or a sister and undergird them with grace and love, tender mercy, and whisper some truth in their ear that'll help them get through the valley of despondency and despair and give them a hope in their soul that they may be used of God just like you. What an honor. What a blessing. I sat up there yesterday, and in that courtroom, And old Dwayne sat there, and his eyes would get real red. And they'd call a name, and that man and woman would go up and stand in the front of that judge, and you could hear him reading the count. And he'd say, now, he said, so-and-so count is 5 years, and thus counts 5 years. And the recommendation said, I'm going to follow the recommendation of the state to take your plea bargain that you have made. And the state has recommended that we give you probation for 3 years or probation for 5 years. But I don't see anything in your life that would warrant this probation, and it's possible that you, if you're let out on the street, will continue in the same lifestyle that you've been living. And said, I have no other alternative but to sentence you to 5 years in the state penitentiary. And every one of them, without fail, every one of them, when he laid that paper down on the desk of that bailiff, he'd say, good luck! Good luck! And every time, I'm telling you, there was no mercy. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Them boys didn't go out of there shouting and real. Some of them went out with tears down their face, a waving bye to their family. And the family's sitting out there with tears down their eyes. I saw wives and mommies and brothers and sisters of those men and women that were let off behind that bar.
Amen.
The judgment bar I'm talking about. And I wanted to say, hey, Dwayne, cheer up, buddy. I know exactly what you're going through. But I didn't.
Amen.
I never sat in front of a judge in face time. I did not know what was in that man's heart. I could not feel the pain that he felt. I could not experience the sorrow that he did or the fear that was in his life. I'm telling you because I had never sat there. But oh, Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through suffering that he might perfect and sanctify you and I by the grace of God. And that suffering that He's called you alongside Him to go through. He's done that to allow you. You don't know. You can't never tell. Someday, Dwayne, God give you a good job and get you paid out of this thing. You get in the house of God and God get to working with you and get your life where it ought to be for God. Someday, some old boy may have come walking in the hallway of Island Ford Baptist Church and sit down on a pew and just look like that he's just, look like he's lost his best friend. God may allow you to walk over and sit down and put your arm around him and say, man, I noticed the long face. What seems to be the matter? What's bothering you? Well, man, I got a court date tomorrow. And I'm facing time. And I ain't got a friend in the world to go up there and just sit with me for a little bit of strength, you know, and a little encouragement. Old Dwayne put his arm around that fellow and say, hey, I've been right where you are. What time's your trial date? I'll go up there with you tomorrow.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
What about it, Buck? What about some woman walking in here someday? Are you going out in the ministry? You and Stephen, God giving you a church full of folk that's got a physical malady. And you see some of your members come walking in. And I'm going to tell you something. That's something that's hurt me and bothered me because I feel like I failed our church on my ability to sit down and sympathize with you and encourage you and pray with you and feel what you feel and hurt where you hurt and know what's running through your mind and your heart. And I feel like I failed you there. But there may be a time down the road, Tammy, honey, when you can sit down by some church member somewhere and that look over at that woman with that long face and ask her, what's troubling you today? Well, I've got a malady in my body and it's just been there for a long time and my body's racked with pain and it don't seem like there's any getting over it and I don't know what to do about it. Hey, hey, hey!
Yes.
What an honor that God would let us suffer as the Son suffered. Oh my God. That God would allow us the same position that He allowed His Son. That He's helped us all we might help others by the grace of God. Oh Lord. Huh? An example. Now I want you to notice that example now. He said, for even thereunto were ye called to that example.
Amen.
But I don't want to spend the time right there. Notice the next thing. Verse 23 of 1 Peter 2. Who, When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Hey, in that example, not only are you called on to be that example, but while you're going through that suffering, you know what Jesus did when he was going through his? He committed himself unto the one that judgeth righteously. That's right. Are you getting a hold of that? No wonder when they walked by him and reviled him and said, "Come down! If you're the," that thief said, "if you're the Son of God, come down! Save yourself and us too." Jesus looked him right square in the eye, looked up into heaven and said, "Not my will, but thine be done. I have committed myself to thee, O God." Hey, God knows what you're going through. I think about Ben and Angie. Wanting to have a baby. I don't know if they've ever thought about this or not. I've got grandchildren. But if Ben and Angie don't have a baby, my name will be cut off in the earth. There won't be nobody to carry on my name. Gary Hall's done when Benny's done. I'll never have a name. Oh. Are you? Hey, look here. And I know it's a burden to them. They want a baby. I want them to have a baby. I want them to have a baby. But oh, God may be letting them go through this. Huh? Down the road, they can help somebody else. Now, I'm going to tell you what you need to do when you're going through it. Commit yourself unto Him. He knows what is best. I'm telling you, the future for me, I don't know. But I know whom I have believed. That's right. And I'm persuaded that He can keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Just commit yourself to Him. He judges rightly. He knows what He's doing. He's never made a mistake. And then notice this. Verse 25, For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Hey, suffering is an example for us to follow. He's called us to suffer. We ought to commit ourselves to the Savior. And then it corrects us when we stray. That suffering, you will suffer, will you not, Dwayne, when you stray from God? I don't know any other example to use. Dwayne stood out in the foyer of the courthouse up there yesterday and said, "I got to stay in the house of God because when I get away, I've got big trouble." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, like sheep that's gone astray, God can correct us by the suffering that we're going through.
Amen.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Then I want you to notice something else. Suffering is expected in all believers, but experienced by few. Suffering is an example for us to follow. And suffering will enable us to stand. Notice with me, please, in 1 Peter chapter number 5.
Yes, sir.
1 Peter chapter number 5.
Amen.
And verse number 10.
Yes, sir.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, there's the word, make you perfect. Make you what?
Perfect.
What are we talking about tonight? Perfection through suffering.
Right.
After you've suffered a while, do what?
Make
you perfect.
Right. Yes,
amen. Not eradicate sin. No, no. But make a man out of you.
Yes,
make a Christian out of you.
Yes.
Make a man or a woman of God out of you. Oh, yes. It was by suffering that God perfected the captain of our salvation. And He'll perfect us or He will sanctify us in the same fashion.
Yes.
Now don't leave me now. Look at the words that you use here. Establish. He'll establish, strengthen, settle you. Now I'm going to give you these words before I tell you what. Hey, establish means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Strengthen means to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. And settle means to lay a basis or to stand one up erect. I'm simply saying that suffering will enable you to stand.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hey, boy, suffering makes you a little tough. You pull through it a few times. You get tougher in a pine knot. Hey, everybody look right up here. My daddy's 86 years old, and they looked the family in the face 35 years ago and said, your daddy's going to die. Still here.
Yes, sir.
When I, before I ever left Indiana, they called us in Humana Hospital over in Louisville. My daddy had some kind, I don't know, it was a growth in his stomach that was a, it was a varicose vein in his internal parts. They had to take out, his stomach's no bigger than the top of that cup or smaller now. Hey, you know what they come out and told us? He's laying on his bed and went to regurgitate nothing but raw blood. And the doctor come out and said, your daddy's going to die. When I was in Bible college, they called me home and said, daddy's got to have a bypass surgery. Walked in the hospital, the doctor come out and told mama, you looked at the boy, your daddy's going to die. Doctor stood in over his bed just a couple of weeks over there, looked down on my daddy, said, looked back at us, said, your daddy's going to die. He's still here.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to hear somebody. Hey, made him tough, buddy.
Right.
Hey, suffering, if you will take it in the right manner and with the right attitude, it'll make you strong. Yeah, it'll toughen you up. It'll cause you to stand erect before Almighty God and give you a strength you never had before. Whether it's suffering in the body or suffering in the mind with grief or pain, He'll make you stand. And I'm going to tell you, if there's ever a time when we need Christians to stand, it's today. Wilting like a bunch of wet noodles. No backbone, no stamina. Spineless little wimps. And you know, hey, can I tell you what I read? You talking about wimps. I've got to tell you this. And I just got to tell you this. I was reading in the news, and they ought to have done it to him. I think they ought to give the three women a hero badge. I read in the evening, hush, Josh, I'm trying to preach. I read in the evening newspaper today, where I don't remember where the man was at, but they let a child molester out of prison. His ex-wife, his aunt, and his mom-in-law went to the plate building where he was at. Now, this is a grown man. And three women went into the room where he was at, took a razor and shaving cream and shaved his head and shaved the rest of the hair off his entire body, all over his body, shaved her off, took a can of spray paint, sprayed child molester on his chest, wrapped him in a Mickey Mouse blanket, and threw him out of the Pizza Hut. I'm going to tell you what. Let them three heifers, bless God, come up here and shave my head. I'd knock about five of their teeth out, bless God, before they can look. That's right. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying, bless God, we need some men. Fellas, hardship. Paul said he endured hardness and a good soldier endurance. We need some men and women so when she gets tough, we'll just get tough right back. I used to have a motto on one of the military units that I was familiar with in the Army. Said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Amen.
Huh? See, suffering will enable a man or a woman to stand.
Amen.
It'll make men and women out of you. So you can stand against sin and stand. Hey, God.
Amen.
I got to quit. My time's come and gone.
Amen.
God, help us stand. Now I want everybody to look right up here, and I'm about to close. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4 for our final statement. We'll close with this. In verse number 15. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you... Let's read verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that suffering should never embarrass you.
Amen.
Let him not be ashamed.
Good.
And I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that, church. Because we live in a day, if somebody gets sick and they're a Christian, or if somebody gets ill in some way, or somebody starts going through hard times and trouble or grief or heart or just anything, I'm going to tell you what most people, well, wonder what kind of sin they're in. God does correct when we're in sin.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you that suffering as a Christian, if your conscience is clear before God and you're suffering, don't be embarrassed about it.
Amen.
Lift your head up in the air. Recognize the grief you're involved in. Glorify God. Bless His name that He's allowed you to suffer that He might perfect you in Christianity and make a child of God out of you that is following after the example and pattern that Christ has set before us. You're more honored than those that are not suffering. Perfection through suffering. That mental or physical pain and grief that you're going through is there by sovereign divine. I'm satisfied or He'd never let me preach this.
Amen.
And it's there to be a help to you and a benefit. Now I want to say this, and you better listen to what I'm saying now. Are you listening? I hope all of you are. Because some of you in here better quit listening to somebody else and what they're telling you. And start listening to some of the preaching. And you might get some help. I'm telling you that God's never ordained a woman in this church to set anybody else down and tell them why they're going through what they're going through. God ain't never called some woman to pastor this church. I'm still the pastor. And I'm telling you, some of you is listening. Some of you in here is bending the ears of somebody else. And some of you is listening to somebody else trying to get your advice and what you need. And I'm telling you, friend, that you head down the wrong path.
Right. Amen.
That's right. I know your feathers got ruffled. And bless God, I'm glad they did. It don't bother me one bit.
Right. Amen.
Are y'all listening now? Have I got your attention? Because I'm about to get tired of catching some of you sitting back in little rooms, happy as larks and running your mouth, and you got problems and you're sitting back there running your mouth, but you don't want a bit of help and advice that the preacher gives you.
Right. Amen.
Now, if that shoe fits you, put it on your foot and wear it.
Right. Amen.
And then when me or my wife walks in the room, you sit there and act like some sheep-killing dog.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A chicken-killing dog.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you listen to preaching, it'll help you. And if you don't want to listen to preaching, you ain't going to get no help. Some of you in here, God's preached to you and exposed what you need. And if you want the help, it's available. And if you don't, God may just drop the hammer. Let's stand together.